Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians, chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all of the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you that you have assembled us in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Sunday school hour that we already had. We thank you for your word that you've given us. And our heart's desire is that we would draw truth from it. And that you will be our instructor and our teacher, and that our lives will be conformed in an image of Christ. Lord, we pray this morning, perhaps there are some here who do not know you in a saving way. They could not sing with convictions and believing in their heart that Jesus loves them and that Jesus died for them. We pray, Lord, that you would open their heart and their understanding. We pray that you would show them their need of the Lord Jesus. Show them their sinfulness. Give them a heart that wants to be done with it, and enable them to turn and to run and to embrace the Lord Jesus by faith. Bless these truths as we consider them from the book of Philippians to our lives, and bring much honor and glory to your name. This is our heart's desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Philippian church, no doubt, is a testimony of the Lord Jesus when he said, "Up on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her." We looked at a couple of weeks ago the founding and the beginning of this church from the book of Acts. And we began to see how the Lord brought Paul and Silas and the others to Philippi, and how magnificently that church was established in opening up Lydia's heart, who attended to the words, and her and her family came to faith in Christ. How subsequently, because of driving the spirit of divination from a young woman that caused her owners to lose financial gain, and because of that, they ended up in jail. They were beating, and we're talking about put in stocks and bonds. And we saw and we read in the book of Acts how the Lord, in his majesty and his sovereignty that has all things in his hands, brought about an earthquake. And we read at the concluding remarks of Acts chapter 16, how the Philippian jailer, who was concerned and worried about his life and his physical welfare, came to know the Lord Jesus in the saving way, and he and his household came to faith in Christ. And so we find here that the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Philippians, that he writes, and you remember last week we looked at the fact that the opening remarks of how Paul introduces himself, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, and as we looked last week, the grace of God both in the Apostle Paul and in Timothy, and how the Lord changed this man of Saul of Tarsus, changed his life, changed his purpose, and a different direction, this man Saul of Tarsus, who the Lord Jesus stopped on the road of Damascus, and he came face to face with the risen Savior. And we find that the Lord calls this man and sets him aside and apart to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And so we find here that when we look at it all, is that how this man, you see, in the meeting and coming face to face with the Lord Jesus, that he comes to the conclusion that all he was, humanly speaking, and that's something we need to remember. When Paul writes to the Philippians, he says, "I am a Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, that I'm in bondage under another one, that the Lord Jesus is my Lord, And I'm accountable to Him. He owns me. I'm a bondservant to Him. That we realize, and when we take a careful look and evaluation of the Scriptures, that here is a man who has come to the conclusion that everything that was worth embracing, humanly speaking, worthy of bragging and boasting about, he comes to the place he counted but rubbish and dung in order that he might win Christ. And that's what the Savior does. He does that not only to Saul of Tarsus, but he does that to every man who comes face to face with the reality of who and what he is, what he has attained to and has accomplished on his own, that you see in light of the beauty and the righteousness and the holiness of the Holy God, and the beauty and the righteousness of the Savior who has worked out a perfect salvation and a righteousness for us, that in light of that, everything that we have, the best that we have, folks, we count but dung and rubbish, and we're on this path to follow Him that we might win the Lord Jesus. The theme of this letter is joy and rejoicing in the Lord, as he says in chapters 4. And again, I say rejoice. The Apostle Paul, even though he's imprisoned for preaching the gospel, he writes this letter and he reminds them that, listen, believers in the Philippi, you rejoice and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, I want us to continue this letter. And, you know, I was tempted to just simply say, let's just jump right into the heart of chapter 1. But I cannot get away from the fact of how important these introductory remarks and the language that is being used here in order for the Philippians to stop and to evaluate and to see in who and what they are, and that in light the founder of that church is in prison behind bars. He's suffering for the cause of Christ, and he writes to them, Philippians, I want you to rejoice because you might, that you realize who and what you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we find here the opening marks, we find that Paul writes, and he says, to all of the saints that are in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. Now, you know what? When we could, the Apostle Paul could have used different kinds of language. He could have simply said to the believers at Philippi. He could have said to the followers of Philippi. Or he could have said to the church of Philippi. You know, he could have simply said to those that have embraced the Lord Jesus, to them that are at Philippi. No, he is addressing this letter to them, to all of the saints that are in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. You know, I was thinking over the years since I've been a pastor, I haven't been a pastor that long. But I don't think I've ever gotten a letter, and Kathy, when you get a letter that comes across my desk that is addressed to Calvary Baptist Church, I don't think I've ever really gotten a letter that was addressed to the saints of Calvary Baptist Church. I don't think I've ever got a letter that said to the saints at Southwood Baptist Church. I never got a letter in the years that I pastored at Grace Baptist Church to the saints that are at Grace Baptist Church. I've never gotten a letter while I pastored in Germany that says to den Heiligen von der Friedenskirche in Straubing. I've never got a letter that was addressed that way. And you see, it's important for us. And I know we would have the tendency to say, you know, we're going to read through the book of Philippians and let's just begin reading Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all of the saints in Christ Jesus, which are Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, and grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've got the introduction, we've got it out of the way, let's get into the meat of the letter. In the meantime, we're really missing something here, because it's vital and important what he's saying and who he's addressing here. You may have seen this program. Recently I was watching the documentary on the Pope, John Paul II. The Pope John Paul II was the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church that came from Poland, you all remember. And he passed away on the 2nd of April of 2005. And the discussion of that program was of Pope John Paul II, of what impact and influence he had upon our history as a people. European history, the coming down of the of the wall between the East and the West and all of the influence that this man had. This man had a great deal of influence in much of that which was going on in behind the scenes. But here's what the discussion was, and I want you to know there is very little that I'm inclined to watch when there is a quote religious connection to it, because much of it I when it's all said and done, I get really frustrated when I listen to it, because you see, one of the things that's missing here is this book. And that we measure out the things that are according to this book. And of course, the discussion was around John the Second, Pope John the Second. By the way, Pope means Papa, or Pope means the Father. And I've got news for you. Even that's the very thing of how we are, the vocabulary that we would use, that we would give to someone a title of that, that I want to say even that in itself has a big question mark on in the beginning. But here was the discussion. The discussion was that in order for the declaration or even the consideration of sainthood, y'all listen to me, that several years have to pass, as well as an authentic miracle to be performed by the person in question in order for the church to canonizing that particular person. Y'all hear me? I want to say, wait a minute. And then I began to read, and I've done some investigating. It said on the evening until April the 8th, it says that the date of the funeral of the late Pond pilgrims came to Rome to pay homage to, there were some millions of people that walked by this man's casket. Then we find on April the 28th, the Holy Fathers Benedict the 16th announced that none before beginning the cause of beatification and canonizing would take place, the cause for official opening for Cardinal Camillo, and on and on and on. In other words, that there was a serious consideration even now that we need to take this man, John Paul II, and let's make sure that we begin to put in motion the wheels that this man will be canonized and the beatification, and that there would be this establishment of sainthood. And I was sitting there listening, and I want to say to us as Christians, we ought to be discriminate listeners. Meaning by that everything that we look at is that we look at it like this. I don't want to be funny, but we need to be discriminate people, because I was thinking, how does this fit with the Bible and the Word of God? And I came up with the conclusion, it does not fit at all. Our text tells us, to all of the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. In the beginning of this letter, and the concluding remarks of this letter, we write that Paul writes in the last three verses, he says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All of the saints salute you. Most people, when we use that terminology, saint, and we use that word saint, most people will have some understanding of what that word means. That word saint has connected with it a connotation of holiness, of piety. A person that has lived a godly life, a person that has lived a dedicated life. And there are some people that would say, many people would say, that was a real saint. My mother was a real saint, someone would say. That was a real saint. And then with that, we have connections to it, that if anybody has deserved heaven and has earned heaven, it is my mother, because she was a real saint, and no doubt she has earned the entrance to heaven. We have some understanding of what the word saint means. But the question is, do we have a biblical understanding of that? Because that is important for us. Because you see, when Paul writes to the Philippians, he's not just filling up space. It's not just simply letter protocol that he's putting in place when he's saying, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all of the saints, you see. And to the bishops and to the deacons that are at Philippi, he doesn't simply have his computer set up that when he starts writing a letter and Word recognizes he's writing a letter and that here is the standard protocol for writing a letter to a church and these words are inserted to, they have meaning. Amen. And the meaning is this. That you see, as we have a biblical understanding and the biblical meaning of this word and application. You see, when you begin to evaluate and you start looking through the scriptures, you find that as in this passage, there is a plurality here. I want to say, if we take that standard that we mentioned a little while ago, that you see people would have lived and have lived a life and there is a certain miracle that they have performed that was proven and substantiated, and there have been decades that have passed by that character and person is still held up, then you see that person is a saint. You know, I grew up in that kind of a society. And we had, when I grew up as a boy, with a Roman Catholic environment around you, there were all kinds of things. You know, we had Saint Bartholomew. We had Saint Christopher. There are all kinds of saints, folks, that you see that the church, when I'm talking about the Roman church has created, we're talking about a host of them for all kinds of things. And you say, are you going to go on a trip? Well, I'm going on a trip. Well, how are you going on a trip? Well, I'm going on a trip. You're not going to go on a trip unless you have Saint Bartholomew on you, because, you know, he's the protector of those that travel. That's not what Paul is saying here to these people. It's a plurality. He's writing to the saints. What is he meaning by that? He means by that it is used of believers and is designated to all believers. And it is not applied to merely to persons of exceptional holiness. It is applied to every believer. It is not just simply, you see, that we stop and say those who have died that were characterized by exceptional acts of saintliness. We're talking about, when it's speaking of the fact to the saints, he's talking about those who are the followers and the believers of the Lord Jesus. Now, question. I'm fixing to get myself in trouble. Do we have any saints at Calvary Baptist Church? Would you get on your feet? No, don't do it. Get back down. Some of you got it. Some of you got it. And that's where we need to start. What is that? I mean, what is that? You see, those believers are those who are joined to the Lord Jesus by faith. Those that are the saints are the followers of the Lord Jesus. Those by the grace of God who have put their trust in Christ. Those whose hearts have been opened by the Lord. Those who are joined, as he says, in the Lord Jesus, you see. With those that he said, to all of the saints in Jesus Christ. They are saints because God's work, because they are saints, God calls them saints. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, he uses this vocabulary, listen to it. When he writes to the Corinthians, he says, unto the church. Folks, do you know what you are in Christ? If you know the Lord Jesus, you know what you are? You're a member of the church. You know what the word church means? The word doesn't mean church, 18807 South Wicaba Road, West Wicaba Road. It is, I mean, this is the location of this marvelous concrete block building that we have such a comfortable with air conditioning and all of that. But you see, when we're talking about the church, we're talking about the fact that they are the saints, the members of the church. The church means they are the ecclesia. Ecclesia means they are the called out ones. Do you all hear me? Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. What does that mean? When you begin to do an investigating on the words, you see, on the words of saint, when you begin to look at the original words of saint, sanctification, when you look at the word holiness and holy, when you look at all of these words, did you know all of these have the same words, the same root that are connected to it? And it means that holy, they are sanctified and set apart, and they are holy and sanctified because God has sanctified them and set them apart for Himself. When I was a boy, we had everyday dishes and we had sanctified dishes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I see some of you sisters. You say, what are you doing with them? I mean, we had stuff that came out of the cabinets once a year. And I mean, they only came out when there was a special occasion. In a sense, you can say those were the sanctified ones. Those were the special ones. Those were the ones that were set aside by the owner. You see, the church, what we are to the saints, we are those that are set apart and sanctified. The Lord called us out of the world and He's placed us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And He's calling us the saints. To them that are sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, and with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And then you begin to take a look and look in the Scriptures, and you see all throughout, again and again, we find these words. And who are these that He's talking about? Is He talking about those of exceptional, you see, piety and righteousness and holiness? Or is He talking about those, regardless where they are chronologically, in their progress and growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Is He talking about all of the believers who are joined to the Lord Jesus in the saving way? Paul writes to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. And then he speaks in that same book. He said, the Spirit searches the hearts, knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints. Is He only making intercession for those who are at a certain plateau, or is He praying for those who are, because of the difficulties that are in the life and at times we don't know how we ought to pray? Does He not intercede for us, the saints? Distributing the necessity of the saints given to hospitality. And so the Word of God is very clear and plain throughout the Scriptures. All believers are saints, to the saints that are at Philippi, to the saints that are at Calvary. You see, we need to recognize and realize, and we've got to do that, that positionally those who are joined in the Lord Jesus, those who have came to know the Lord Jesus in the saving way, positionally, what are we? What are we? What is the Christian? You see, positionally, we are the children of God. We are the sanctified. We are the called out ones. We belong to Him. We have been justified. He is the one who has called us. He is the one who has set us apart for Himself. We are His people. We belong to Him. He has redeemed us. Amen. So when you think about that, sanctified and set apart, holy, that means exactly when my grandmother said, absolutely not. Or if we had somebody coming over and they set the table and we went over to the everyday dishes, he said, absolutely not. Go in there in the living room, Wohnzimmer, and hol mal das Geschirr. Hol mal der Rosenthal. Get the stuff that is nice, they got the little rims around it. And you see, when we think about that, that root word for that is holy and sanctified, set apart. Those who are in Christ Jesus, sanctified. But you see, with that comes, you see, that then with that comes not only positionally, but then there also comes the conditionally. You see, unless you are joined to the Lord Jesus positionally, you're never ever going to be a saint in the fact that when you come to the end of your life, as Mobile prayed this morning, and he says, what happens when you look back in your life? What do you see? We want to be very careful with that. But when, if this were the last day of our lives and I look forward, what do I see? Do I see hope and righteousness? Do I see the fact that I know that I'm going to be seeing Him who bought me with His own blood, because He's the one who's called me and He's justified me? Positionally, I'm righteous. I'm counted as righteous because I am a saint, because He's done that work. But if I do look back, do I see any changes in my life? Follow me? And so when you think about a saint, you see, it is positionally, but it's also conditionally. And I tell you what our hope is, you look at your life and you look back in your life that you can say, you know what, I can see some changes in my life. I have grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I have seen some changes in my life. I have seen some things that you see that are connected to Him and that I am becoming like Him. We call it sanctification, being made holy, being conformed to the image of Christ, becoming holy. That's what the Lord Jesus prayed in that high priestly prayer, John 17, didn't He? Sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy word is truth. You remember what Peter was saying to those that are listening to him. He said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past you were not a people, but now you are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak of you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What is he saying here? He didn't use the word sanctification. He didn't use the word saint. But I tell you what, everything that he said is exactly that. He said, you were not a people, but now you are a people. And you see, at one time you had no hope, but now you have hope. And now you're called you out of darkness in this marvelous light, that you might show forth the mercies of him, or the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into your marvelous light. Think about it. Is that not what Paul is saying in this letter? When he writes in chapters 2, and we're going to get to that in the next few months, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless as sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. And then again in chapters 1, verse 27, he says, only let your way of living be as becometh the gospel of Christ. What is he saying? Only let your conversation be as becometh the saints of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see or else be absent, I might hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And then again he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. What is all of that? Well, that's that saint being sanctified, being conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus. You know, and apart from the positional, it's not ever going to happen. It's not ever going to happen. You know, Luther translates this, the word saint, he translates it in German, zu den Heiligen. He actually takes it literally, exactly for what it, we didn't translate it that, we just translated saint. But he talks about to the Holy One. Not only positionally, but conditionally, you see, the Holy Ones. But folks, there is more than that. It's not just, you see, positionally, and conditionally, but there's going to be a sanctification. One of these days is going to take place. Myra, we were here a couple of weeks ago, standing right here in this room. I made reference of that last Sunday when we said goodbye to Rick. And our folks, there is a sanctification in the saints. You see, those that when the saints go marching in, when the Lord calls his people to himself, there is going to come a time, I want to tell you, that the Lord will call His saints, His people, those who He sanctified and separated to Himself. There's going to come a time, and He's going to present His people, the Lord Jesus is going to present His people to the Heavenly Father. And how do you think He's going to do that? Folks, we're going to a wedding. June 5th is going to be a wedding. My grandson number 2 is going to be, he's going to stand before me with fear and trembling. And then I'm going to say to him, and I know that the bride is going to come down and she's going to look beautiful. And everybody's going to be dressed up, and I mean, they bought suits for everybody, and we got measured up, the length and the width and all of this good stuff, and everybody's going to look nice. But I've got news for you. That we're going to a wedding, positionally in the Lord Jesus. And it was that which caught the heart and changed his path, that I may know Him and I know the power of His resurrection, that I knew He knew what it was to have the wickedness of an evil heart hanging on in the flesh. O wretched man, who shall save me from this body of this death? He knew that He was set apart, and there's going to be a sanctification. There's going to be a setting apart finally from this life and to the life of come. And He's going to present us without spot and without wrinkle, blameless. And that's why He says, "For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And He says that in chapter 3, verse 21, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." And then again in chapter 3, verse 12, He says, "Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I'm apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And folks, that is going to be the third sanctification. That's going to be the third setting apart, when this sin is going to be a thing of history and we'll be in the kingdom where righteousness dwelleth. Amen. The question that I have for you this morning is this: are you a saint? If you have embraced the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, start living like it. You know, there is a crisis in our land. Do you know there is an identity crisis in our land? And that people are searching and looking for identity. They have struggles with contentment and joy and peace. And they name the name of Christ. At the same time, there is absolutely nothing there. You know, we're talking about there is a crisis in our land. And I want to simply say, if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, realize and recognize who and what you are in Him, and stand up straight and know that He has set you apart and sanctified you. He has given you the Holy Spirit in order for you to be sanctified, to be holy, and be conformed into the image of Christ. Start living like it. And if you don't know Him, you're not ever going to live like it. If you don't know Him, if He has never opened up your heart and awakened you, if you never experienced the grace of God, if you've never had a sense of the guilt of your sin, and if you've never had the fact that you want to be done with your sin, and there was a remorse for it, and a brokenness, and a heart of repentance, and a turning from it, and running and embracing the Lord Jesus, it'll never happen. You see, the Lord, He says, "For without holiness, no man will see God." And we're talking about positionally in Christ, that is accredited to our account on the basis of our faith. And then actual holiness that is applied by us with the aid of the Holy Spirit that brings it out in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, on and on and on. Are you a saint? I could ask you to get on your feet and to ask you to say, "Are you a saint? Have you been arrested and apprehended by the grace of God? Has the Spirit of God taught you that miserable you are, but there is a Savior? Have you ever come to the place and you recognize that, man, I'm a wretched person, I'm a sinner, guilty before God, and rightly so. I deserve nothing but His justice and the right condemnation of God. However, I'm fleeing and I'm clinging to the Lord Jesus. And I'm a saint. I'm a saint. And I want to become like Him, the one who gave Himself for us." And you see, that's why it's so important when Paul writes to the Philippians and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And apart from knowing in who I am and what I am in the Lord Jesus, let me tell you what. Every whim of everything else will control our emotions. It's knowing that in the Lord Jesus, that I'm set apart and sanctified, that I am holy. He's bought me and purchased me with His own blood. And what the work that He began in me, He will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. And then come what may, they may throw us into jail for preaching the truth, come what may, that you know there is this heart of contentment, then we can say grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord enable us and help us to embrace this. And if you have sense and the sense of knowing, you say, how can I know that? Have you ever had the sense of the guilt of your sins? Have you ever had the sense of, I need to be done with that? Have you ever had the sense that I want to turn from it and run from it? Have you ever seen the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and say, Lord, not I, but you. And Lord, I want to follow you for the rest of my life. Lord, what you say about me, that's what I want to be. Has this ever been the case with you? If it hasn't, my prayer for you is this, as the Lord opened Lydia's heart, and she attended unto the words that may this be the case with you, that the Lord would open up your heart and that you would say, I believe, I turn, I believe, and I embrace. Let's pray.